It's a really interesting idea. I don't know that other chambers in the region are doing this, but the idea of actually going through all the motions one does have to go through to become a candidate for office is really a thoughtful offer to put on the table for people. What part of this session are you involved with?
I'm given what I guess a keynote address. It'll be the beginning just to talk about what they should expect, or just a more or less an overview of what they'll get the rest of the day, because there are specific topics. But since I was involved with 8 different campaigns during the time I was working, I guess they wanted me to address some of the things that I encountered and some of the decision-making processes I had and things like that. So I was just going to give an overview of the election process. Then there are these separate specific workshop type things where individuals can go, such as getting your political start if it's someone who's never run for office before, and then deciding how committed you're going to be. That's going to be a committing to run. And learning the numbers game, such as probably that would be not only the voter registration, how many there are, how many people you need to see perhaps, but also how much money you need to raise and how you should spend it. There's just a lot that goes into running. It's not simply saying, I'm going to run and I'm going to win. It's a lot more difficult than that. But the purpose of this, the way I look at it at least, is to give individuals who might be interested, or even maybe those who had run before but were disappointed at the outcome and maybe did not plan accordingly, tools that they can feel more comfortable in running for office.
Tell me about your experiences in 8 campaigns.
That sounds like a lot, but 5 of them were unopposed. So you still have to file and you still have to go through some steps, because if you don't go through those steps, then you're not a viable legal candidate. Things like running for judge, you have to file necessary papers, you have to pay us a fee, make sure all those things take place. You have to form a political committee so that if you do in fact receive funds, they go to that committee, because judicial candidates are not allowed to ask for money. So things like that. And then the others were simply one successful campaign for district judge. I ran in a race for circuit judge years ago. It was a 3-way race because the sitting judge died suddenly and tragically. And so 3 people ran, and it was an interesting race because ordinarily in a judicial race, the final race would be only 2 individuals, not 3. I was kind of in the middle of that election where had one of the other 2 not run, I believe I probably would have won the race. But each of those other 2 people were taking certain votes that I think that people would have voted for me. But that's, you know, who knows? That's my own belief. And then after I had retired, or actually been retired for some time, I actually ran for the legislature, and that proved to be unsuccessful.
Given the recent events in our nation's capital, you must anticipate some discussion about even serving in the political arena today.
That's true. There will be, I'm sure, because it's almost like some people may think, well, why should I run if I'm elected and I go to whatever entity, whether it be the local governing body like city council or fiscal court, or if they are elected to the state legislature or to the House of Representatives or the Senate. And then once you're there, it's just an impasse, or that your own views don't really matter anymore. But I really do believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think that this is sort of like a wake-up call for our National Congress. I really think that things will change a little bit. I'm not sure it'll be a dramatic change, but over time. That's what I hope for. I would never discourage anybody from running, because I think what our problem has been nationally as well as statewide, not just our state, but all states and locally, is that we've had a failure of really qualified, good people running for office. Mainly because of what you're just saying. They don't want to run, because why go through this exercise of futility to spend all this time, money, effort, agony, and win, and then accomplish nothing once you're elected. So I think that that's changing now. I think that it's easier on a local basis to do things. And you may have seen the trend toward mayors of cities are just forgetting about the national government, the state's governments, and doing things on their own. Of course, they still have to depend on federal funds and state funds, but they're getting things done on their own.
Let me ask you this. When you become a candidate for a public office, are you vetted personally like you would be, say, if you wanted to mentor a child for Big Brothers Big Sisters?
It depends on what you run for. I think I was vetted when I ran for the state legislature. I mean, actually, I was asked to run. I had no intention of doing so. But as far as most other offices, you're not. I think probably statewide office, that's true, and maybe even local politics, too, if you're vetted by someone who, by your potential supporters, obviously.
Is there any legality that would preclude someone from running?
Oh, no, anyone can run. I had a primary election in the legislative race, and I know that there had been some move to maybe discourage my opponent from running in the primary, but he had every right, just as I had every right, to run.
Can a convicted felon hold office?
No, not in Kentucky. They can in many states, not many states, but unless you've been pardoned, you cannot be an office holder. You cannot vote, and you cannot be an office holder.
Why did you want to serve?
I wanted to serve as a judge because I really liked the job. It was challenging, but it was also a job that I enjoyed because I felt, as a district judge, I could actually help people. When I first got out of law school and was working, I worked for the Attorney General in Frankfurt at first, and then briefly in private practice in Hopkinsville, and discovered that I did not like that because the practice of law in some part is that you're making money on the misfortune of others. And I would rather have tried to, I guess, prevent or right wrongs as opposed to making money from doing the same. So that's why I enjoyed being a judge. In the legislature, I'm running for the state legislature. I felt I could offer something to the citizens of the district from which I was running, but they decided that maybe that wasn't the case. But I will say that as a judge, no one knew what I was politically. They had no idea what party I was. And my thoughts are very progressive, and I think it just didn't fit with the more conservative constituency I had. And I knew it would be difficult, but I didn't realize how difficult it might be to convince people of, I don't mean to be paternalistic by any means, because each person has his or her own right to decide what's best for them, but many times people decide against their own best interests. So there's that struggle that any candidate's going to have. Should I vote only as my constituents believe, or should I vote what I think is best? Politics is extremely interesting to me, and how do you decide? Because if you can say, well, I think I know what's better for everybody than other people do, but that is being paternalistic, and maybe it's not in the long run better, but there are decisions that politicians have to make, elected officials have to make, that may be unpopular. But if they didn't make decisions based on what was really best for everyone, you might as well not have anybody run for office. Everybody just has a button in their home, two buttons, one's yes, one's no. And some comes up and says, how do you vote for this? And you vote yes or no. That's why you have people that are elected to that are maybe better informed than you are because of what they've learned from others while they're in office and what the consequences may be for failing to vote for something or for voting for something. So that's what we're hoping that this campaign school is going to do. It's going to give new, potentially new candidates some confidence and tools, as well as maybe providing for other candidates the same type thing.
Kudos to the Christian County Chamber of Commerce for doing this.
And the League of Women Voters. I wish that it was done everywhere, because what happens is that in the past campaign schools, individuals have come from other parts of Kentucky, I mean, from long distances even, and even one or two other states. It's too bad that it's not offered in more places, so that probably the attendance would be greater everywhere if you could do it locally.
I suppose even going to a campaign school would be a good way to get your name out. It seems like a beginning step, even just doing it, much less...
Oh, I think so. Yeah, you could do it and not even run. It's not only for candidates. It's all. This would be a great school also for people who are going to be working in campaigns. It'd be a good school for someone who may be serving as a treasurer for someone's campaign committee. It's not just for candidates only. It's maybe... It would be helpful even for spouses of prospective candidates to go to see what's involved. I have a good friend in Nashville who knows former Senator Frist. And I remember when Senator Frist first chose to run, he had a very successful medical practice, and his family's very well off and everything. He would ask his wife, said, I don't understand why he wanted to run for this. What was your all's discussion about when you discussed whether or not he would run? And she said, he didn't ask me. I cannot imagine someone running for the United States Senate and not telling your spouse, because what you put your family through in any campaign is not always nice. Even maybe children who would be able to understand this, because I had a couple of campaigns where my sons were young, fairly young, and I think they suffered some from this. People need to be aware of what they're getting into. That sounds negative. It's not. It's just something so that you could, you know what the future might hold.
It's a big responsibility.
Well, it isn't for anybody who runs for anything, no matter what the position, no matter seemingly how insignificant. But there are, I don't believe, any insignificant office holders. I think every position that one is elected to is extremely important, and each of those individuals owes a duty to their constituents to do his or her best job.